Are you confident in slicing something in half? Well, if you are, then you're in good company. Today we'll be taking a closer look at the nuances of everyday interactions that make up the monotony of life. Let's get angry at a family member who insists on turning off a wall plug switch even when there's nothing plugged in. Grab your knitting needles and a blanket because it's time for three old friends to sit around and sew a new patch into their quilt of friendship. So join me, Dion, under the covers with Christian.
Welcome to Patchwork.
And Josh.
Welcome to Patchwork.
Now, as you both are aware, I have recently moved into a new place with my partner. Now, this place is one of those duplex, right?
Oh, not duplex, but a duplex.
No. It's a duplex. So, in the duplex, is it duplex?
It's definitely duplex.
Yeah. Let's pick me up on my pronunciation.
Yeah, let's start
what
again.
What are the big fat Lego bricks?
Oh,
Duplo. There you go.
Is that why?
Remember that.
And what's Dua Lipa?
Dua Lipa. So the duplex that I've moved into shares a wall with my landlord, with my new landlord.
Oh.
That's right. So.
Oh, it's a bit of pressure.
Well, landlord, sorry. So it's a Macedonian couple, nonni, was, you know, in their 80s, probably mid to late 80s.
How do you know they're nonni?
Because they have grandchildren.
No, but how do you know that's the word that they use?
No. I'm just saying they're nonni. Oh. That's me saying grandparents.
Why would you not quickly Google what Macedonian grandparents are called?
I'm sure it's something akin to nonni or yayi.
Jupli.
Anyway, so when I first did an inspection of the property, saw in their backyard these enormous tomato plants that were as tall as some of the trees that are in my backyard.
Great.
Oh, wow.
They're huge. So the lady is a wizard in the garden.
That's the word he's looking
yeah.
for.
Yeah. and he is just red. He's permanently red.
Oh, so he looks
face
like a tomato.
Is red. Yeah, he looks like a bright tomato.
So he is her inspiration.
Yeah. but they're really, really nice. And I wanted to.
So confusing this story.
If you stop, yeah, I'll get through it.
The Dua Lipa concert?
So Dua Lipa's playing on top of the duplex. Anyway, so since I've moved in, I've bought them some flowers to say thank you and a nice bottle of bubbly. They bought me a bottle of wine for my birthday.
Great.
There's stop and chats happening, mm-hmm. but today I finally feel like I can officially say I've made a friend with my neighbor. They bought over a huge bowl of tomatoes,
ooh,
freshly picked.
That's very
and
good.
I've wanted that my entire life. What, to have a
why?
Because I am going to receive the literal fruits of their labors.
No. But what is their motivation for giving that to you?
That's it.
Excess tomatoes. They have a shitload of tomatoes.
But that's great.
It's great, but that's not the signifier of a good neighbor, of a good neighborly thing. They're like, I reckon you're being taken for a ride.
No. See, they would just throw them in the bin if they didn't care.
No, they would.
They're fantastic tomatoes.
No, they'd take them to work. If they weren't retired.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's necessary.
Where do I fall in the rung of tomato? Because they've got heap. You know what? It is excess. They've got a lot. Yep. And it's not like they're going to give me the first pick tomatoes above themselves. Of course, I'm getting the excess.
My neighbor within 3 months of me moving in gave me 8 kilos worth of guava. I have a terrible relationship with them.
Isn't that bat dropping?
What do you think, larvae?
Guado, right? Ace Ventura.
But the question to you both was, have you ever had that relationship with your neighbor? Dion, it sounds like you have.
I've always wanted a relationship with my neighbors. And actually, the place that I moved into, I went before the auction, I went and talked to my neighbor and wanted to see if he was a decent guy. Seemed really nice. Gave me a welcome gift, like a hamper, moved in. Whoa. Couple of months later, an absolute prick. And he's since moved out. He was there for 30 years. He was awful. He was so, like, every little thing he'd pick up on, he was just,
like,
he was so
stuff,
finicky.
Like
noise and what else was there? There was like
the shooting range.
there was like a bit of overhanging trees and just being a being such an asshole about that. Yeah. So I thought I had a great neighbor. So don't count your chickens.
Yeah, I won't. No, no, no. I don't
have chooks.
It's possible.
But I think that's great. I've never really had that experience. I think the big difference is like when you're renting generally, you feel less part of the community and that community aspect. Oh, so I think as a homeowner, you probably would feel more of your community. And so you probably, good neighbors, like, this is my community. This is where I live.
Yeah.
I'm going to strike up a friendship with my neighbors in a better way.
But it's nice. Yeah, you can go over. Hey, can you take the bins out? We're not going to be here this weekend. It's just there's so many little perks
it's
now.
It's huge. Are there? So do you see, what do you see the perks, the upcoming perks?
Mainly the bins.
It's the bins,
yeah,
right?
Mainly the bins.
That's it. What else? What else would there be?
Bringing bins in as well as putting the bins out.
Oh, a lot of bin activity. Yeah, can I use your bins? Yeah. We've got excess.
Oh, that's a huge one.
We've got all these tomatoes we didn't eat. Can we just put them in your bin? Yeah, no worries, no worries.
People are precious about the like putting stuff in other people's bins.
Oh, yeah.
I don't give a shit.
I hate the morning. I don't mind if you put stuff in the night before.
Of. Oh, yeah.
Morning after, if it's already been empty, don't put shit in someone else's bin. That's
nothing
rubbish.
Like seeing a coffee cup at the bottom of the bin.
I hate it.
It's awful, isn't it?
I hate
it. You hate that? Why?
Because that's not my rubbish. And I'm like, it's all cleared out. You know, and then that's loose
is
in
it
my
in the
bin.
Right, is it about being in the wrong bin? Or you
it's
just hate
both.
It that it's
any
in your
loose
bin?
Rubbish in my bin.
So how do you feel about throwing rubbish into a public bin?
Yeah,
that's not your bin.
Yeah, no, but like they're designed for that. Mine is meant to have bags of trash in there.
Sorry,
your normal general waste is designed for rubbish bags of rubbish.
A coffee cup in your bin is fine. It's not. You're not the one who's paying to take the bin. You know, you're putting all this effort in to take the bin to the.
Well, I'll tell you what, Christian. I'm sure the Garbo would love that thing going up and coffee flying out everywhere, and him going, "Geez, I wish they put that coffee cup in the bag."
So it's a hazard.
Oh, I love.
Well, you
I
never. You know what?
Wait
you
a second. Never.
I'm looking out for it,
Christian. You never think of garbage. It was a theme.
Hang on a second. So, Josh, you think that when the. The trash goes into the truck, that there's a chance that coffee splutters over him.
Yeah, there's a chance.
How close is he to the rubbish and how much coffee is there that it splutters?
I don't know. I didn't put it in there.
Yeah, he didn't.
Some random has. Okay, is their fucking dog shit as well.
Well, yeah. And so that's the worst one. Like, you look in your bin and you go, oh, that's been... And then you see a little green bag.
Yeah.
A little bit of poo in there. You happy with that,
it's
Christian?
It's rubbish.
No. Do you want dog shit going all over a public servant?
No. Put it. I want to be the one putting... Now, one other thing since I've moved in, because this is the first time I've properly lived with my partner, I've noticed, and you know, we were traveling for 6.5 months together. In this time, I've realized she really freaks out when she needs to cut something in half for the two of us. She's not confident in cutting food in half.
So is that why you said 6.5 months to get a rise from her?
Yeah, yeah. You should have seen her splitting with a month then. But she freaks out because she's worried about either giving me or herself the bigger half. So she doesn't want that responsibility on her.
Mm.
I, with a knife in my hand, feel very comfortable slicing something in half and feeling like I'll accurately give both people
something.
An even share.
So clearly, the fact you've picked up on it, there's definite, like, it's an issue for her. Because I'm you would think that you would ignore that. It wouldn't be a big deal. They might quite like, oh, I always get that wrong. I hate it. But there's enough of a response and a reaction from her that you're like, wow. Just,
oh, yeah. She'll hand the knife over.
Is it knife confidence? Or is that not? That's not the essence of it, is it?
No, it's
something
it's,
deeper than that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's actually being able to estimate which half is bigger, like knowing where to make the first cut.
Yeah.
I guess the first cut is the deepest.
Yeah.
Baby, I know.
Especially if you're doing like an irregularly shaped thing.
Yeah,
like then
like
it's
what?
Real tough.
What are you thinking?
Muffin.
Just yeah. Muffin's a good
what
one.
What the hell are you cutting a muffin for?
Because you're sharing it.
No, but you'd rip a muffin, wouldn't you?
Even
no,
harder.
Well, this is the problem, right?
No, it's harder.
So when we're sharing a muffin,
yeah,
and I say, Dion, you know, halve the muffin, you're going to rip it with your hands, like a gorilla.
Like an apple.
Like a muffin like frenzied gorilla.
Or it's like a phone book he tried to be strong.
I was just thinking of, I think I'd seek your consent to rip it. I don't think
I know. Here's the example.
But your instinct is to rip.
Christian, you're on the trail, you're on the hike. You don't have a fork. You just got the muffin.
What are you going to do?
You got to rip it
in half. What are you going to find? You're going to fashion a knife from stone?
No, you pre-rip. Pre-cut at home.
No, you're out there. Forget that. I think you're absolutely going fingers in.
I'm confident with a rip, but it's not my first choice. Dion, are you saying you're confident with a rip?
No, I can't swim through a rip.
you were saying Emma's issue was with not being able to correctly identify the half, right?
Yeah. Mm.
The easy way around that, and what I end up doing, it's like you do it. You don't make the choice. You get the other person choose.
Interesting.
Here you go. Which half do you want? I don't care. I'll take whichever one it is.
Do you care, though?
Particularly with the partner, I'm always like, you have the exact one you want, and I'll have the left.
You know what that is? That's love. That's love, isn't it?
It just feels like the accepted thing to do. It's like, you take the best one, whatever you want, and I'll happily take the rest.
You take the best one that you want, but it puts the pressure on them.
Mm-hmm. No,
because then they're the bad guy.
No, they're not.
Because they got the mental load of taking a half.
No,
no, but you've deferred responsibility.
No, because I said I am genuinely happy with whatever I get. Because when we're really thinking about it, it's the difference of what, like half a millimeter, a millimeter.
Well, you got a bone to pick with Josh Reed? Deferred responsibility.
No. But it does depend. Because what if the cut is bad? Mm. It is a big difference.
Well, then you go, hey, I stuffed up the cut. You get the bigger half.
I think the problem is, I'm asking you, you don't really care that much about food. You like it, but you don't like
That's not what he's getting at.
I think also the difference is negligible. Like, no matter how bad the cut is, it's not so bad. It's like, wow, I feel really full with my half.
Physically, it's negligible.
Don't give up. Move on.
Nigella Lawson.
It is Nigella Lawson. But mentally... that's huge. The divide between someone getting the tiniest little sliver
if we're like crashed in the Andes and we're like really desperate on our food, then it's going to matter.
Okay.
Really? So it'd matter in that situation.
If you're in a starvation situation.
You wouldn't want to get into an argument in the Andes though, that situation.
Well, by that virtue, should the larger person get the bigger slice?
Oh, that's a good question. Watching Survivor recently, should the big people eat more food?
Mm. What do you think of that? No, I don't. There's not necessarily a correlation between big people eating big food.
I think you'd need more nutrition. So I think in that, but I think in what we're talking about, it's completely irrelevant. I'm surprised
whole thing's irrelevant.
No, I'm surprised it weighs so heavily because I'm like with the halves, like I had to cut up some watermelon recently at a party and that was a little stressful because I'm like, it's kind of hard to cut up. It came in half. And then I was trying to work out the best way to place it on the chopping board to get a good clean cut.
What the hell
and I
was did
like,
you do?
Well, because I just put it face down. And I was like, oh, I'm doing it that way. And I was like, oh, maybe I should cut it into quarters. Because then I was cutting the half slices, then cutting the half slices in half. I'm like, should I have done it to a quarter
Fingers crossed there was a security camera at this party that captured this whole thing.
But it was because I was doing shit. I was doing bad cut. Like, they weren't even slices. And that's what was annoying
shit
me.
Shit cuts. Call them. Yeah. Call them what they are. Okay. You're doing shit cuts.
But that was the thing. Like, to your point about getting the halves wrong, I was frustrated that, like, these slices of watermelon, they're not equal.
No, but it's a very different thing, Josh, because with watermelon slices, you can get a small one and then you can recover with a big one later. It's not like you've just got the choice of one watermelon slice.
Yeah, well, what about a cake? What do you like at cutting up a cake? A birthday cake?
What's again, these are...
Well, a birthday cake's always the same shape.
Which?
Triangle. circular sponge, about... 20 centimeters. Okay, quite high. Quite a high sponge.
When I think of birthday cake, you know what I think of? I think of like the Coles mud cake. Just classic.
How much are they now?
What about $8? A Women's Weekly fake pool made of jelly?
That's what you think of,
mate. Lined on the side.
It's not what I think of.
Yeah. Mud cake. some childhood.
So I think
because one of the considerations is how many people are there, because you got to work out what your degrees are.
Well, this is my big question.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Are you going, I'm cutting up the cake, or are you going, Christian, would you like a slice of cake? Yes, I would. Cut. Dion, would you like a slice of cake?
One by one.
Just a small one, thanks.
No.
What about if you're at the MCG?
How many people are at the party?
Say there's 20.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think the key with that is if you're doing custom slices, people can go, just a little bit, thanks, just a tiny bit.
But you know what the problem is? I think we've given people too much power to control the size of their
slice. It's woke.
It is PC gone.
It's cake woke.
It's about the person cutting it. You don't cut these enormous slices that people will be like, what are you giving me?
Actually, has anyone ever complained that their slice of cake was too small?
Of course. People are always doing that. They're always going, oh, do you want a slice? Yeah, I'll just have a little bit. And you serve it and you're like, geez, that doesn't...
You know why? Because I go, it's very rich.
Yeah. Oh, cakes are always rich.
Very rich.
And then what do you do? Do you cut it? Do you cut another slice? I don't know if I've seen two slices of cake on a plate.
Chew a slicer.
The problem is with a birthday cake, you're trying to get rid of the birthday cake, right? Like, you don't want leftovers of the birthday cake.
That's a good point.
Like, you do. You can have them for a few days.
Do you ever freeze it? Frozen birthday cake is quite good. Yeah, it's quite good. Yeah, it's good.
Never heard of that.
Is it licked like a popsicle or defrosted and then reconsumed?
Actually,
put just in the microwave.
On the topic of popsicles, just a quick side note. My dad loves a popsicle and will take it out of the freezer. And I've noticed that he will breathe heavily warm air on each side of it to cool it down so it doesn't stick to his tongue.
What?
Yeah.
Before each time?
So he's doing the opposite of blowing on the spoon when he's having soup.
Yes, yes. No, he does that.
That's great. Yeah, that makes sense. Too hot, I'm going to blow on it. Too cold.
It doesn't make sense because your tongue. On, it's not like an. It's not like. Sense. It's not like. It's not Dumb and Dumber. It's not. His tongue isn't getting stuck to the pole.
But the logic of this thing's too hot, I'm going to blow cool air on it. This thing's too cold, I'm going to blow hot air on it.
No, in theory it makes sense, but it doesn't need to be done because he gives me one and I just eat it.
Yes, the logic is sound, but doesn't apply in this situation.
Yeah, it's just. It's just a very. It's a very traumatized upbringing with ice and ice into soup. We've talked about this.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
He's terrified of ice. Does he have sensitive teeth?
Surely he has sensitive teeth. I don't think he's got
them. Yeah, I was going to say, when you are cutting something in half and there are two pieces, like a sandwich, I think if, for me personally, a sandwich is a big responsibility, right? Because the moment you're putting any kind of pressure on the top of a sandwich, you risk...
Oh, yeah, compression.
Compression and then sandwich. Also the structural stability falling apart, right? Like,
yeah, blowing something up.
It slides off, yeah. So when you make an effective cut of that sandwich into half, I think you deserve the bigger half.
Are you but serrating or clean blade?
That's a really good question, Josh. Depends on the bread.
Well, let's go through them.
Cobb. Let's get it off the island.
I think I know what you mean because, yeah, I will generally eat my sandwiches whole. I won't really cut them in half.
Mm.
But... I guess you've really got to compact it. I think isn't that the key? You really smush it down to really
It's a deft touch. It's like, you know, in football, like a nice pass in front of it. It's just that deft touch. And it's something that isn't widely appreciated, but should be.
Do you know what is an incredible technique? I've never tried, but I've seen executed online, is the wrapping in baking paper, the entire sandwich, and then alfoil really tight, and then cutting it so everything remains inside the sandwich.
What do you think? Do you reuse that? Why are you calling it alfoil? Have we talked about this?
Aluminium foil.
Yeah, we actually have. This,
yeah.
Maybe, but let's do it again and see if...
Josh took issue with it.
The other one that's a little bit more complicated is the orange. And I'm very interested in how you go about cutting an orange. There's so many ways to eat an orange. I'd say there's two or three. But do you cut through the core or do you turn it on its side and cut through the non-core side? Because you get very different outcomes with an orange. The white stuff is very differently distributed. Right. Christian, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, which makes me think you've only cut an orange in one way.
No, well, I cut an orange the way that my dad taught me to cut an orange.
Which was?
Which was take the very top off, take the very bottom off, do very small slices into, what do you call it? Like the
rind? The skin?
Into the rind. And then you do that the entire way around. And then you peel the rind off. And then you have a full intact orange that you can slice after.
Josh, what do you think?
The slices are already done. The orange is in sections.
It's true.
You just need to get two
sections.
Do you know
what? I'm going
to
try it. Because I lose a lot of orange. Because I just cut it in four. I have a very weird methodology.
Oh, so you're trying to cut it open to get at the... Not quarters, but the segments inside. Because I'm thinking of it from a juicing perspective. Because that's all I do.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Just we are different.
Hey, so do you eat the orange with the peel still on?
Yes, I do. And then I put it in my mouth and make a face.
Eating fruit like that.
Yeah, but
I really hate
it. But you eat skins, don't you?
But in this case...
No, answer the question.
Yeah, he eats kiwi fruits like an apple.
It's so strange. What do you eat, the pineapple leaves?
No, I really hate eating orange like they give it to you at a football match. Like,
they give it to you at a football match.
When you're playing footy as a kid,
half time,
I remember. I didn't play footy growing up as a kid. But if I had, they would have brought out oranges at half time. Why don't they just take the peel off? Why do kids have to eat them? Like
you're lucky they're being sliced. They should give each player a knife.
Yeah, but wouldn't you, isn't it a more...
take it out.
It's like no rubbish.
Snack.
Yeah, it's no mess.
Yeah, it's in the mouth and it's gone.
Yeah, there's no wrapper to remain.
It's
but
a
also
nonsense.
When you keep just trying to suck and you're biting at the at the peel, you're getting all the little
the
googly-eyed monsters in your teeth.
I was just thinking, maybe like the best contained fruit would be a banana. It's like it's a great, but I would
the
really
old atheist nightmare. That's what that is.
I think. Thank you.
An atheist nightmare.
Yeah, creationists think because the shape of it fits perfectly in the human hand. It's like it's done that way for a reason.
Oh wow, God, that's
it's created.
Geez, I might become religious then. But slicing, I've just thought. I think the next time I eat a banana, I'll slice it down long ways. Have you ever done that? Imagine if you did that at work. Yeah, imagine if you did that at work.
Boat.
Eat it out of your finger.
What about if you are sharing? I'm just going to bring it back another time. I'm going to attempt again to get back to the original point.
He wants to know if the tomatoes.
If you guys bring up watermelon, birthday cake, or orange one more time, I swear to God. If you are sharing a dessert with someone, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no cutting involved.
Yes.
How are you at eyeballing the share?
So what like, could be a cut involved?
You, well, there could
say,
be.
Say it's like a little chocolate mousse kind of thing.
A mousse. That's exactly what I was thinking. Great one.
Or what about sharing a slice of cake?
Yeah,
or
right.
a mousse.
Right.
Sharing a slice of cake. Okay.
How intently are you eyeballing the other person's consumption?
Well, mousse is very different to a slice of cake. Josh, with a mousse, there's a mousse between us. What are you doing?
Running away.
Well done.
What a shame.
Well done. Yeah, we fucked up the punchline.
I think generally I will always eat for a dessert. I have really small bites because that's just a flavor saver thing. So generally I would just have a lot of small ones, but I've got better at tracking, particularly with my partner, of like, I need to make sure I'm matching that. So instead of just me going my normal pace, I'm like, if I just match their pace, if I go one for one,
I like that.
I don't have to think about how much I'm eating. Whereas if I was doing my normal pace, I was like, mum.
Great reflection. Mm. He's matured a lot lately, isn't he? But what a great reflection. I would never have thought that.
No, but for
pace.
Pace. How about you, Christian? What's your pace like?
No, well, I think
how quickly are you hoovering up that mousse?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Josh, yours is about I'm so unsure of what the etiquette is here. I'm going to go one for one with the other person.
No, that's not the way I see it.
It's not unsure.
It's sharing.
It's making sure that I don't have more than my half.
Yeah, it's sharing the experience.
Because I will just fucking go and not stop. I would just keep going.
You haven't
going.
Seen Josh go at a cake either. You want to go me.
So you're saying that the learning for you is you can't just go when you're sharing.
My natural inclination is I would just eat at my normal pace.
Yeah, so that's human nature.
Yeah.
And now, glad to welcome Josh.
No, and now Josh is up to the point of
considering
I know how to
human
share.
Beings.
I'm learning how to share. Okay.
My system to make sure that I don't overstep. Instead of having to go, I've had
Josh,
about that much
Josh,
and that much.
You're explaining sharing to us.
Okay, that's what we've been doing for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Excuse me, you're explaining slicing to us.
Wait a second. Can I just tell you how I've evolved my thinking?
Tonight?
I think that the first few spoonfuls are critical.
Okay.
Because people really start to latch on to who's had the most towards the back end of the meal.
Yeah. But you reckon you can get away with murder in the front end?
In the front end, you can get some really critical spoonfuls where you get every single layer, every element of that thing.
Yeah.
You get a slightly bigger one. Mm. I reckon you can sneak it through a little bit easier.
Mm. Yeah. This is the essence of greed, isn't it? This is where capitalism started. It started with a bit of mousse.
This is Christian getting through customs. I think I'd sneak a bit extra through here.
Dion, what about you? Are you good at eyeballing the division?
Yeah, and I'm conscious of doing it, but I'm quite like, I think my knife works quite good, and I think I would do the knife. I think it's kind of a nice moment.
Even the dessert, you would try and halve it.
I think so.
And then you could be like, great. Even on a shared plate, you just sort of split it.
It's like a bit of a moment, that splitting thing. It's, there's a nice thing. Oh, let's split it. Oh, let's do it separately.
I agree.
But is there something a little bit... I guess it's that... What's that Disney cartoon with the dogs coming together and
Aladdin.
Having the same...
Aladdin.
Is that Aladdin? But Jasmine goes to kiss the genie. But there's that. I feel like
Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp. That's the one of the
spaghetti.
Yeah, the spaghetti with
the
Aladdin.
Kissing.
In Arabia, it's Iranian food.
I was looking at my phone the other week, and I was scrolling through Instagram.
I was scrolling.
And I scrolled for quite some time. I scrolled all the way down to a photo posted by Sir Donald Bradman at Donald Out for a Duck. The photo was of the scorecard from Donald's final innings, where he scored zero, despite only needing four to end his career with an average of 100. And the caption reads, "I knew it was a bad idea to let the knighthood go to my head and try batting my final innings with a sword." Hashtag 99.9 average. Hashtag Donald Ducks of the school. Hashtag VCE. Hashtag Arts Law Monash University. Josh.
Yeah.
You were scrolling through your phone.
I was scrolling through my... I know I scrolled for so long. I got right. I got all the way down to Medusa.
Oh,
oh wow.
At Sexy Gorgon. And the image was just like a writhing mass of interconnected snakes. And the caption read, "Anyone got good product recommendations for tangled hair? I think the last product I tried was just snake oil."
Hey,
really good.
What a Medusa.
Hashtag cursed. Hashtag stony faced. Dion, how are you?
Yeah, I was scrolling right down to the bottom. And I came across a photo of the great Australian batsman, Sir Donald Bradman.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am. I am serious. With the handle, "Is Don is Bradman." And there's a photo of him looking very disappointed. And the caption reads, "Really annoyed I got out for a duck in my last innings. Only needed four runs to get a batting average of 100. Fuck leg spinner Eric Hollies. Fuck test match cricket." Hashtag Donald Duck.
That was the photo.
That was mine. It's written here.
That's the photo.
That's the photo.
He's swearing.
He was looking disappointed, and there's a caption underneath it. And that's the most interesting thing that we've both, out of anyone in human history,
so
we both chose Sir Donald Bradman. That's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
We don't check on each other beforehand.
Have we overlapped before as well?
No, we
Elvis,
haven't.
Elvis, I think we may have.
And I was
overlapped.
About to make a joke downstairs.
There was one that was in my Elvis one. I said hashtag Shakira hips don't lie or something.
And mine was Shakira. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh, I hate to think what your patch is going to sound like. I was overseas recently and I was cutting an orange in half. And I met this guy at a hostel, and he was telling me all about his life. He's a really lovely guy, and I sort of said, "Oh, what do you do for work?" And he said, "I'm a co-founder." And I was like, "Oh, wow, you're a co-founder? Yeah, what do you do for work? I'm a co-founder."
He said, he didn't say that.
No. But he said he co-founded a yoga studio. Okay. And it made me think...
That's not what you do for work.
Well, that's what he said. He said...
But I run a yoga studio.
But that's right. But that's my whole point. That's why I want to talk about
this. Go get going.
What the fuck? Why is he saying he's a co... And what can you be a co-founder?
He's showing off.
He's a co-founder.
People love that word, don't they?
They love the word co-founder. They love the word entrepreneur. And any entrepreneurs out there listening to this, you'll know. They love... And you know what? You know who loves... You know who loves a word? Businessman. And you know what word they love? Businessman. They love the word businessman. And so it made me think, all of these words, at what point can you call someone a businessman, a co-founder, an entrepreneur, and are we all three?
Yeah, so we could be co-founders.
We're not entrepreneurs.
No, but we could be co-founders.
But like, if someone said, ask us about, we wouldn't go, "Oh, we co-founded a podcast." Like, yeah, you wouldn't bother saying that.
Well would you have on your Instagram bio, co-founder of Welcome to Patchwork, or co-host of Welcome to Patchwork?
No.
Co-host works.
I mean, I don't.
You founders? Don't.
Founders? No, I don't.
But
what's the difference for the yoga studio person?
I think...
You feel comfortable saying co-host, they would feel comfortable saying co-founder of...
Yeah, but they could say, "I'm a yoga teacher," or "I run a yoga studio."
But it's in the word. It's founder. Like, they found something. They didn't find it. They rented out a studio and they studied yoga.
If someone said to me they ran a yoga studio, I would probably presume that they started the business. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need the co-founder word.
So are they an entrepreneur because they started a yoga studio? It's been done before. It's just a yoga studio.
Yeah, what brings you to the level of entrepreneur?
I think my problem here...
Not that.
I think...
Entrepreneur.
You should hear him say businessman. Go on, Josh.
Well, no, because I was going to say, you say, I don't think anyone would ever refer to themselves as a businessman.
No, businesswoman, businessman, businessperson.
Just... Say it again.
You guys emphasize the word man too much. It's a businessman.
Businessman.
It's not businessman.
It is a businessman.
Because you think that
that's from New Zealand?
Because that's a profession.
No. I think you guys are saying businessman and it makes it sound ridiculous.
Businesswoman. Businessperson. Business owner. No, businessman. Businessman.
But it's not businessman as well.
You know what sucks? I don't know anything about the English language. What? I was about to say, well, businessman is a noun. I've got no idea of it. What is it?
I'm gauging mine off saying something like Batman or Spider-Man or
Yeah, but that's
man.
What I mean. It
Batman.
Sounds,
that's,
businessman.
It's Batman
it's businessman.
But like, I understand that I don't think my image of a businessman, if you want me to say it that way,
yep.
is like something as a kid, I'm thinking the word art guy with a briefcase and a suit yeah. and like there's a big stock thing going up behind.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking yep. of when I think of a
Huge
businessman.
Ticks.
I don't have a visual idea of a real life businessman.
Oh.
It's something to do with it's so you would never have a blue collar worker as a businessman.
No.
Despite them being a man or woman of business.
Yes.
Which
correct.
Is strange, isn't it?
It's to me, it's someone sense. Who works in finance. Probably.
So it's something yeah, to do yeah. with wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shocking. Shocking.
Finance.
Finance. Yeah. In an stocks, office all day.
Stocks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Briefcase, right?
Briefcase.
Do leather people, shoes.
Computer.
Do you know anyone? Do you know
computer.
Any, do you know anyone who has a briefcase? And I don't mean like a nice little satchel thing for their
what's
laptop.
What's a bigger briefcase. Version of a briefcase?
Let's just stick with
it. No, it's full, full, it's, full no, case.
It's the carriage that lawyers drag behind them.
Oh yeah, the
roller case makes it look like they're going away for the weekend.
Yeah. Roller case for a case.
Yeah. But do you know anyone who's got a briefcase? Have you ever seen someone legitimately with a briefcase?
What's a briefcase?
You know what a briefcase is. No, it's a no. thing with two latches. And
well, mate, we're trying to define what a businessman is.
Yeah,
I can't even say
I
the word.
Knows what a briefcase is.
It's
yeah,
got
yeah.
a latch and it's got some numbers
yeah,
on
and
it.
It's hard cased. Yeah, and you flick it open and it opens what and you put your briefs
what
in
there. If they're under 50, they should be shot, shouldn't they?
what I never understood is, so my dad used to bring a briefcase to
right?
work,
yep.
but I never understood what went in the briefcase and where his lunch went. Did the lunch need to fit in the briefcase?
Did he take his... I think back in the day, you couldn't... There weren't restaurants back then.
Yeah, but surely the briefcase is just documents and stuff.
No. Why wouldn't it be lunch?
You're not getting in a lunch in your briefcase.
Why the hell
surely
wouldn't
not.
You put lunch in a briefcase?
Because you put all your briefs and your documents in there.
You could put the sandwich...
Your briefs. Yeah.
You could put a sandwich straight in the briefcase without any... There should be, was there a sandwich compartment in a briefcase?
But
and if not, why not?
Is the idea that all briefcases were supposed to fit lunchboxes? Like, were lunchboxes made to spec so that they could fit within a briefcase?
A businessman.
Yeah,
do you reckon Sistema makes briefcases?
Because I think my image of the businessman is...
Is that how you pronounce it? I've never Sistema. Said that word.
Yeah, yeah,
it is,
Sistema.
Isn't it? Yeah.
My image of the businessman, it's probably a businessman from
Josh.
The 1950s or a businessman from the 1980s.
I
That's
think
where
80s.
My businessmen
yeah.
have
yeah, yeah.
locked in time.
I think yeah. Salaryman Japan. That's yeah, what I right. think of businessman,
oh,
I think.
Escalator?
Yeah, escalators.
Yep.
Paper.
On a phone with a little aerial coming out of the phone.
Yeah,
that's quintessential, isn't it?
So that's a businessman, right?
Yeah.
You know who used to be a businessman 20-odd years ago with the big little Bluetooth talkie bit
yeah.
and used to think, what a wanker.
Oh, yeah.
And now everyone's got their AirPods and you that's don't think, what a wanker.
What a good point. Why were they
So weird, right?
No, I think it was because I don't think it was the earpiece. It was the moment that they had the earpiece in where you thought they shouldn't have a listening thing there. It's them walking around. If they were just at their desk.
It's weird, though, that it's much more accepted.
It
that
is.
You see way more
people
with
wireless
things.
You got two of them. You got double them. Yeah.
But wouldn't you still think, what a wanker, if someone had the original one ear with the microphone?
Oh, yeah.
There's
a lot of stigma with that, isn't there?
Heaps of stigma.
Yeah, yeah.
But somehow the pods get a free run.
They do.
Yeah, it's weird. And they're white as well.
So something about the suit. Of Oak's businessman. I can't understand the why there are still people wearing suits to work. I'm not saying that I'm going to be honest. I don't love it. I don't
You wear a suit?
No. I don't understand nor love the fact that people still wear suits to work.
No, unless it's unless you're meeting a client, there
no,
is no
why,
reason.
Why does the client-facing component of
because
this
Because they
matter?
Care about a collar.
So this is it, right?
It's ridiculous.
So the client sees you wearing a suit and they go, this is who I want to do business with.
Yeah.
Because I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
Professional. These are professionals.
This guy's a professional. Oh, professional's a good one as well.
Whereas an entrepreneur wouldn't be seen dead in a suit.
That's so true.
Wouldn't be seen.
What about a co-founder?
A co-founder.
With the entrepreneurs.
No, they're at home. Co-founders.
Yeah. What about
in the office
meeting?
A couple times a week.
What's the entrepreneur and the co-founder wear to a bank meeting? Because they want to show they're good.
Nah, they're cool guys.
They wear
slacks with a black turtleneck type thing.
Yeah, and a belt that's probably a little bit of material as
so
well.
So do either, because you both work in the corporate world, would you consider yourselves businessmen?
Oh my God. I mean, I don't, do I?
Nah,
education tech?
Because I work with, yeah,
you,
we both
you,
work with computers.
No, excuse me. You work in the corporate world. You work in a big
Yeah, but I'm still
I'm
in IT.
Here's a question.
I think the moment that you're in IT or tech, you're no longer a businessman.
But, Christian, how about this? Do you work with businessmen?
I have, very weirdly, occasionally on a meeting, you'll see someone who's like 65 years old wearing a shirt. I'm like, what are you doing on this call?
Do you think they're fully dressed? We don't belong.
Well, as in they've got pants on.
No, are they at home wearing a shirt or are they in an office?
No,
I was wondering if the business the businessman wears slacks at home.
Yeah. Yeah, they get dressed to go to
They all do. He's so definitive.
Surely. If you're wearing a suit to work, you dress up at home.
So hang on, you're saying you see someone on these calls and you're like, who is this business?
Why are we intersecting? Yeah. How has my world intersected with your world?
Here's a question, just a quick question. The businessman that's wearing a shirt at work and they're ironing their shirt, are they ironing it all the way down to the bottom of the shirt? Are they ironing just to where it could be seen within vision?
No, because, yeah, the whole way down.
Why?
Why would they stop?
Because they're probably sitting on it. Otherwise, they'd have to tuck it into their
businessman. They take it very seriously. All right?
Well, businessmen love ironing their shirts.
A fresh press shirt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, fresh. The top businessmen that no one likes wear a little tie clip, don't they?
But you're worn a tie clip. That was one of the first moments I felt like I was falling behind in life was when I remember I was probably like 21, 22, and I heard my friends talking about ironing their shirts. Yeah. And I was like, geez, I'm never going to iron my shirt.
You know what? Yeah. Like, kind of the only occasions that I do, if it's like a wedding or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of like
crack out
it.
The iron.
And I go, oh, I guess I better iron the shirt.
But it looks way better. A shirt looks way better when it's ironed.
It always looks so much better. And I'm like, I should do this more, but I cannot be
bothered. I don't understand why the TM Lewin, you know that inexpensive shirt brand?
Yeah. They're very good shirts.
Why? How can it be that the creaseless iron-free shirt exists?
Yeah.
And they haven't ruled... Get rid of the rest.
It's the same. It's pipless watermelons. It's creaseless shirts. It's the same. It's all the same factory. I promise.
Here at Welcome to Patchwork, we like to expand your vocabulary, teach you new words. And with that in mind, now it's time for Patchword of the Day, Christian.
Fabrizio woke up well before his alarm went off. The moment he heard the front door slam shut, he was out of bed and into his comfy clothes. Nonno was home from the market. He flew downstairs and ran straight for the fruit bowl, where he saw a mound of apples. He picked one up, and just as he took an enormous bite, his nonno screamed, "Fabrizio, no! Those ones are...
artificial."
The patchword of the day is...
artificial.
Dion.
Alana had once again forgotten Melissa's birthday. She'd known Melissa since her childhood, but she also felt that they were drifting, and Alana thought this was because she wasn't putting time into the friendship. Today, Alana had left Melissa's birthday present to the last minute. She was feeling under the pump, anxious. And that was also compounded by having eaten too much...
feijoa.
What is that?
The bachelorette of the day is...
feijoa.
It's a fruit.
Oh my God. Feijoa, right on. All right. Okay.
That is well known.
As old Mr. Robertson stepped out onto his porch, he could hear the muffled giggles of the neighbourhood kids. He took one step forward and immediately felt his foot slide out from under him. Marbles cascaded down the steps as he fell. His head bluntly smacked into the stone hand railing. As blood slowly trickled down over his forehead, he yelled out, "You damn kids and your wacky
hijinks."
The patchword of the day is...
hijinks.
Jinx.
Oh, look, thank you so much for being with us again, this feijoa.
Never heard of the fruit?
Never heard of it.
Never
What's
heard
it look
of the fruit.
I don't know, but it starts with an F.
Hang on, you don't know what it looks like?
I don't have to know, Christian. I don't have to know.
I thought it was really well known. I've never seen it.
Are you sure it's pronounced feijoa?
You know what I tried to do?
Yeah, it is.
It's fajita.
No. Oh, no, it is.
Look at this. I tried to look up dragon fruit, and it comes back with pitaya. Every time I type in dragon fruit, look at this. I've typed in dragon fruit into Google, and it just insisting on pitaya.
Okay.
What's wrong with dragon fruit?
Fucking pick idiot. A well-known fruit.
How to eat a pitaya. Anyway. Josh.
Hoisted by his pitaya.
Yeah. Anything happening? Anything happening? We've got a Comedy Fest.
Yeah, Comedy Fest, April 8th, Game Boys Cinematic, not Game Boys Cinematic, Game Boys Escape to the Megaverse.
Oh, yes.
It's our Green Water winning show.
Green Room Award winning show.
Green Room Award winning best ensemble.
Wow.
April 8th. I haven't done the promo much for this show. but yeah, April 8th, tickets available on the Comedy Fest
website. I've got my tickets.
Oh, I've got my tickets as well. When are you going? What night?
The same night as you.
What's that?
I can't remember. Hey, the ninth?
Ninth. Maybe the ninth. We'll get back to you with that. Josh, many for those who might have seen it, many changes from last time?
Yeah, it's significantly different.
Okay,
so it's definitely
great.
Worth it.
Really?
Our show from 2022.
Oh.
It's the award-winning show, so we thought, let's change heaps of it.
Great. Oh, that's great.
But yeah, some big enhancements, and it's a much whole a piece now. It's really exciting.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I loved that show.
Yeah, it was really, really, really
changed.
It's a really, really good show. Oh, look, just tell your friends about us. It's so good to be back. We want to get more people on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have some exciting stuff coming up. I've got a Ripper Roibus coming
up,
by the way, which is, yeah, it's quite full on.
I've probably got another tale from Nondal's Veggie Patch.
Oh, that's awesome.
And a couple of stories from the trip.
Have you got anything, Josh? Oh, yes, you've got an award-winning Green Room show at the Comedy Festival.
I'll tell you all about it again and again, and you guys can say how annoying it is me talking about things that are important in my life.
Sounds good to me. And also, as we do every week, we sew a new patch into our quilt of friendship. Josh, what patch did you sew?
Thank you, Dion. My patch this week.
What patch did you for Joe?
Thank you, Dion. My patch this week is Christian turning on a giant spotlight with the silhouette of a briefcase on it to summon businessman. Christian, what patch did you sew this week?
Thank you, Josh. This week, I sewed into my patch a group of businessmen being handed out sliced oranges at a halfway point of their meeting. And Dion, what did you sew into your patch this week?
My patch this week is a group of businessmen being handed out sliced oranges halfway through. No, just joking.
Gotcha!
My patch this week is Donald Bradman realizing that the reason he went out for a duck in his last game was because he was batting with a briefcase, which had a sandwich in it, and that sandwich was made by businessman Dua Lipa. Thank you so much for listening to Welcome Patrick for another week. I've been Dion.
I've been Josh.
And I've been Christian.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sit back down, you bloody...
Just sit there. Stroking my hair.
I like this song.
Sit there. Oh, sit there. Oh. Sometimes love ain't fair.
Yeah.
Stand up now. Walk out of the room. Girl, I don't want to see you no more.
Doesn't rhyme.
I was trying
change
to think
the station.
In the time.
This song doesn't rhyme where it should.
I didn't work out the rhyming time.
No,
I tried hard and I couldn't quite get it. Let me tell you, baby, it's a tough one. I get it.
That's the same rhyme.
Got it. All right, let's go.